Welcome to the Fear the Wave cast, the UCF post-game edition. This is Kelly Camardo with Jimmy Ordineau and Jake Weinstock. Jimmy, this was a difficult game from the jump. It was like UCF came out and punched us in the mouth, and it took us a while to get our bearings.
Yep. I think sort of the speed with which they do things offensively did. It took us a while to adjust to it. There's no doubt about it. I mean, just certain angles and so forth. And, you know, that sort of inverted veer, the keeper that Plumlee hits, where he fakes the give outside the jet sweep or running back action outside and sort of takes it into the line. That play was obviously really effective against us. And it's just, you can scout and rep it something all you want. When you get guys with that athleticism doing it live action, it takes a little while. I do think there was some adjustment to it as the game went on, and particularly the outside quarterback runs. I think we sort of adjusted to them, but just, you know, too many mistakes. For a team of that quality, you needed to come out and play a very clean game. We really didn't. You know, I think we talked about it before the broadcast. I mean, it's kind of like bubblegum and rubber bands, that it was a 7-point game. I feel like they definitely played better than us by more than 7 points tonight. Unfortunately, I don't, that's not to say I told y'all both. I mean, I'd love to get another shot at them. I think we can flip this, but they were definitely the better team today.
Yeah. And Jake, on offense, Tooling comes out after, after holding UCF to a field goal on that first drive. We come out and get a 3-and-out, and, you know, the passing game never really got going. We had so many drops, and, you know, up until the last drive or two, you know, we were so inconsistent in the passing game that it was really difficult for us to, you know, we were just trying to move the chains however possible.
Yeah. You know, I think the receiving room is going to watch the tape tomorrow and be pretty disappointed in this one. I really don't think, you know, the quarterback was an issue tonight. I don't think, you know, oftentimes when you lose, especially at the college level and above that, you lose because of quarterback play. I thought Michael Pratt gave us chances to win tonight. You know, he put passes on the money on third down, some that, you know, should have been touchdowns that weren't hauled in. And, you know, the one thing I can say is 10 games in, we have a pretty good feel at this point who we need to be working the ball to. And Deuce Watts made some big plays again tonight. You know, this might have been Jaquan Jackson's, you know, the best game of his season thus far, almost going over 100 yards. And then Keys had, you know, an important catch there at the end to put us in position to cut it to 7 with, I guess, just under 3 minutes to go. So it was really tough to get going. And as you guys said, that I missed, I've been a pass first guy, you know, run the ball, the pass. But, you know, when because of injury or because of situation or whatever it is, trying to get other people involved, when you can only get Tajay Spears 8 touches on the ground, it becomes a lot harder to open things up in the passing game. And so that's going to be the challenge on Thursday night, is if you don't have the consistent threat of 4, 5, 6, 7 yards, regardless of down or distance in the running game, how do you activate the passing game and overcome that? And that's just not something we were able to do consistently enough. Maybe it was the wind and the weather and the cold and the drops. But to beat a team like SMU, you're going to have to do that. So that's something this group has to figure out pretty quick, in my opinion.
Yeah, and one of the good things that, you know, I think you can say about this team no matter what is, while, you know, we got punched in the mouth here, and while we've dealt with some adversity during the season at times, we responded pretty well. I mean, you know, there's no quit in this team. There's no give up. And I'm sure that they'll come out with maximum effort on Thursday night. Jimmy, just talk a little bit about how you turn the page as a player and how you just you get rid of one game and try to move on to the next.
Yeah, well, you know, I think this group has done it pretty well. I mean, frankly, we didn't play Thursday night games back in 98, and so 95, 98, so it's not something we had to do much of. But, you know, I think when you – the folks who do it the best, you know, when you look at the NFL and the teams that are successful doing it, it's your mature people. It's your professional people. And I do think where we're going to be challenged the most defensively is where we have the most maturity, most experience. We're going to make a game effort of the short week of preparation. I have no doubt about that. Is it going to be enough? You know, I don't know, man. That's a tough passing attack to catch on a short rest. I mean, just the schedule didn't do his favors the way it fell right there in this instance. But, you know, I mean, Nick Anderson and Dorian Williams and Macon Clark and Larry Brooks, I mean, these guys have seen SMU's passing attack now for 3 years, you know, and so they know what they're dealing with. They know that they know the challenge facing them. And so I feel okay about that. I mean, you know, there's some wounded pride. There's no doubt there's going to be a lot of hurt feelings when they turn on the tape. But at the same time, I think they'll see that they made some mistakes. They're going to see that when they came out, whether emotion or otherwise, they didn't do themselves very many favors defensively. Then the number of pass interferences, I mean, now granted, you know, some of those calls very questionable, but you know, just that. And I think there was some uncharacteristic unsoundness in the run game, and that's brought on by the opponent. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They're big and strong up front. They challenge you. Defensive line was often not where they wanted to be after the initial contact. We were not there. There were gaping holes at times where we typically would have a man. So, you know, live and learn from that. I do agree with Jake, by the way. I mean, you know, Michael Pratt, to me, is continuing to show growth as a passer. I think the combination of he and his play caller, they know each other's strengths and weaknesses better and better each week. I think you're seeing, you know, you saw a guy under some really adverse circumstances tonight really perform. And I was proud of that. I mean, but the biggest question mark with the short week, Kelly, is the health of Tajay Spears. I mean, you know, he was basically starting drives and ending drives, and the middle was going to somebody else. And that was pretty much for 3.5 quarters. And at the end of the game, we didn't see him at all. And so is he going to be ready for Thursday night? Because I mean, he's such a difference maker. And if you got a healthy Tajay, I like our chances. Without a healthy Tajay, it's a much harder challenge.
It's definitely a tougher challenge, and I'll get to that in a second. But I also want to tip my cap to John Rhys Plumlee. I mean, you see, you know, we played that same team last year basically without him, with Mikey Keene at quarterback, and they were only able to score 14 points, I believe. It's a much different team, and he brings a much different, element to the game, where it was just, you know, he was really tough to corral. He was the X factor in the game for sure. Jake, looking ahead, I mean, you get SMU. Tajay's health is a question mark. Do we get more of a pass first attack against SMU?
I would as much as I would love to say yes, I hope we don't have to. Out of necessity. By the way, Pauline Ordineau is the best guest speaker on this podcast in the history of the show. My favorite. But you really hope you don't get into a situation like SMU was in the other night, and like South Florida was in today, where you have to do nothing but throw, right? That is, and I know you guys joked about it last week when I couldn't hop on because of the wedding, but the goal is not to have to throw on every single play. The goal is to be explosive through the air, throw in opportunistic situations on first down, on second and short, in high EPA passing downs. But you know, if we have to get into a shootout and, you know, try to win a game 51-49, you know, that is a tough challenge. But I do think if you can play an opponent who has less of a tough interior pass rush than what you saw tonight, this passing offense really can be electric and dynamic. Even with the drops tonight, And even with, you know, some of the mistakes they made in the passing game, let's face facts. We got bullied a little bit up front on both sides of the line. And it is really, really difficult for a quarterback to overcome pressure up the middle. I mean, I'm sure Saints fans are listening to this. That was always the one way to beat Drew Brees, is to get pressure right up the middle, get in his face. And that's true for almost every single quarterback, unless you're Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. And Michael withstood a lot of that tonight, a lot of it. And he still made some big time throws, you know, not taking away anything from SMU, but that is not something I would expect from that group on Thursday night. Just based on opponent, the pass protection is going to be a lot better. The pockets are going to be cleaner. And so you should have more opportunities to hit plays down the field. I mean, if you look at his average yards per attempt tonight, it was 6.1, which, you know, is subpar. That's not what you want to see. We had to throw a lot of balls short, whereas we've had some great success this year putting the ball, 10, 15, 20, 30 yards down the field. I think those opportunities are going to reappear on Thursday night. And hopefully we're in a position where we can capitalize and turn those into a lot of points, because you're playing a team that you may need a lot of points against, right? Without Kennedy, against a great offense, truly, in SMU. So hopefully that's where we go with this.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, a little bit of a different twist on that. You know, I think a little bit of the pressure and some of the issues we faced tonight were in part due to the weather and the fact that UCF knew that they could walk their safeties down and not really have to worry about the deep ball, just because it was so hard to throw downfield going in that one direction. If Tulane said, okay, we want to come out and we want to back your safeties off, we want to make you play too deep, do you think Tulane has the passing attack and you know, do we have the players and the system to do that against SMU, to back these guys off? And maybe we pass first, not by necessity, but by choice, so that we can open up some more running lanes for Shoddy, for Tyjae when he can play, and for Iverson.
Yeah. I think there's truth to that. I mean, I think a big part and I think the two things go hand in hand. You know, what Jake's talking about is, you didn't have a lot of confidence today. If you're calling a play and it's first and 10, you want to take advantage of a good of a preferred passing situation. I mean, you don't want to kill a drive before it starts by dialing something up that's going to take the deep shot to develop, because you didn't have a lot of confidence that you could hold up, right, from a pass protection standpoint against this team. And to your point, Kelly, you know, part of it is they were giving you a really heavy look because and almost daring you to try to do it. And the conditions were such that it was hard to complete those passes. I think against SMU, you should expect more time to throw. The defense gave up 63 points to Houston and won the game, but they gave up 63 points. And, you know, you're going to have opportunities there to move the ball through the air. And in general, even if they continue to bring a man down and try to stop the run, I just think that Celestine and Clayton Johnson would have success, far more success against the SMU than they had today, just because the offensive line is going to be more successful. You know, the staggering numbers. I mean, you know, the reality is that Tyjae, you know, kind of was a one man. His numbers were so much greater than everybody else's. A lot of it had to do with, you know, he's that good, and kind of made plays on his own. But the guys up front were challenged today. There's no doubt about it. I think they would have more success against SMU, which would allow you to do what you're talking about, to stretch the field vertically and to make them cover more of the field, which makes it much easier to run the ball.
Yeah. Well, final thoughts, guys. Jake, let's start with you.
You know, we've said it a couple of times now after some of these wins, the whole season, all of the goals are still in front of this team. And that's actually still true, even after tonight. You know, as disappointing as this is, everyone should keep in mind that this was Tulane's first conference loss today. There is no undefeated AAC team as we sit here at this point. So, you know, win these next two games, you are into the conference championship game. Where it'll be, who knows, but you're in. Win these next two games, win the conference championship. You have a great chance of securing that group of five, seven bowl game slot. So there was a small margin for error. That's now gone. But the path, I made fun of Pauline Ordino, and my dog's on the show. The path is still there. The margin of error may be gone. But the best thing about Thursday games is if you're coming off a loss, it is a really, really quick and fast opportunity to get back on track. It's going to be a short week of practice. You'd love having this game at home as opposed to having to travel on Wednesday after a Saturday afternoon game. And hopefully the bounce back is strong, Kelly. Like you said on Twitter, the last time this team had a setback at home, what was that? The last weekend in September, they rattled off five wins in a row. Hopefully there's another more in a row that they have in store for us here.
Absolutely, Jimmy.
Yeah, you know, I guess that the number one thought is what you're pointing out. And that is, and Paulina, I'll be with you in a second. You control your own destiny, right? And that's great. But, you know, I regret three things about this. I mean, you know, there's so many things you can point out. The terrible officiating and, you know, sort of their success on the line of scrimmages on both sides over hours and all that. But just three things that kind of fall in a category of bad luck that I feel like, what's the result of the game if this goes a different way? Number one is, if you had a full Tajay Spears, what's that impact on this game? I just feel like it's a much different game. You know, and number two is Gus Malzahn does stupid things and you had opportunities to make him pay for it and didn't. Right before the half, you score with a minute 15 left. You know, Willie gets criticized at times for being too conservative. At half, Coach Fritz manages the clock because he doesn't want the 4 minutes going in to have 4 minutes coming out to lose the game in that crucial time. And you know, Malzahn was going to give us the ball back at midfield after we just scored with a minute 15 left with a chance to get more points. And we get the stupid, you know, kick cover situation where they don't get points out of it. We lost that chance to score. And then he throws a halfback pass from his own 35 on fourth and one and gets bailed out by a pass interference. I mean, you got to make him pay for that situation. A bad pass interference call. I liken it, Kelly. You're a baseball guy. If you call that play there in 18-mile-an-hour winds and you got your running back throwing to your quarterback from your own 35 and fourth and one, it's like being on second unforced in a ground ball to third base and you run, right? Even if you somehow get under the tag, you're still out, just out of principle. And should not right. never have been bailed out with that freaking call. Never should have been bailed out. I mean, it's a principal issue. But beyond that, like those two things, his poor game management at the end of the half, that terrible call, like he didn't have to pay for those things that he did. Right.
Right. And I'll take it a step further, Jimmy. Let me interrupt you for a second. I'll take you a step further. That wasn't even the play call because they snapped the ball because they thought we were offsides. None of the offensive linemen moved. So that was all on the fly. So I think that was going to be a run. And somebody, I think Macon ran up to the line of scrimmage and didn't jump offsides, but they snapped it anyway. None of the offensive linemen moved. So I think that, you know, again, another mistake they didn't have to pay for.
Right. I mean, I feel like you need to tackle the receiver there to get an interference call. Anything short of that, no flag. Stop. And then the last thing is, you know, Macon Clark. God, the guy's made so many plays for us all year. If he catches the tip ball near the goal line, that's a 95-yard interception return. What happens in the game if that occurs, you know? And it's just –
no doubt.
That just sort of sums it up, man. I mean, you had opportunities, you didn't capitalize on the opportunities. You're going to get more opportunities if you get to play again. And I'd relish the opportunity to see what would happen, even going to the bounce house. What would happen if we get to play that team again? I think the result would be different.
No doubt it would. And I mean, you know, here's the thing. UCF averaged 4.4 yards per pass attempt tonight in the year 2022. If I told you guys 6 hours ago that UCF was going to throw the ball 31 times and average 4.4 yards per attempt, you'd take that all day long. You know, we're not that far away from you know, beating the, you know, I know you said rubber band and all that, and we were fortunate to have a 7-point game. But this team is not that much better than us. I do not believe that pound for pound across the board. There were opportunities tonight, and, you know, you just have to capitalize on those when they come around. You can't, you don't have the margin for error that you would, perhaps, you know, the two teams we opened up against in September. You have to make it now.
Right. Yeah. No. Look, I'll end it with that. I know. I agree with you. I don't. They are better in some respects, but we're better in some respects. I think the bubble gum and the rubber band comment really deals with the way we played. The fact that it was a 7-point game with the way we played and the opportunities we didn't take advantage of and so forth. But certainly roll that ball back out there again, fresh start, both teams. I think we're a much closer team than probably the way we played tonight. You know, we played a C-minus game and they didn't. And I'd just like to see that again. So
I would anticipate there'll be less man coverage. And if there is, there'll be a spy on number 10. But that's just my hunch. Who knows? Well, hopefully we'll get a chance to find out on December 3rd.
That's right.
Well, and I'll point one other thing out that Jimmy said before we started, which I think is probably the biggest difference between these two teams, is they've played these games before, and this was our first time. I think if we get them again, now that we've had one of these games under our belt, you know, we're going to have two more basically win or go home games against SMU and Cincinnati. If we can build on those two teams, the team that UCF would see 3 or 4 weeks from now is not the same team they saw today.
There's no doubt.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining me again. Hopefully we will be back on Thursday night, hopefully after a Tulane victory. Thanks again.
All right, guys.